Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to go fishing. Yes, we're going to outswim the sharks, but it's not going to end up being a fishing trip that you would expect. Ah, we've got a little bit of a unique connection here. Reut Schwartz-Hebron is my guest today. Outswim the sharks. How to quadruple your team's productivity. I told you it was a different kind of fishing. Hi, Reut. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you so much.
You are one fascinating lady. Your book was so interesting. Now, you're the founder and president of Kind Excellence Institute, which is a management consulting firm. You like to really deal on a high-impact level with workshops for managers and teams. You've been involved with this for over a year, and we're going to later on be giving information on how people can get in touch with you. But your life has been anything but dull and uninteresting. You said at the age of 18 you realized that you could change the world as an individual. And at 24, you gave up a promising career as a commander and a consultant for the Israeli Defense Forces. I mean, wow, you were really a heavy-duty, get-em-up, get-out-there-and-get-going kind of a gal.
Yes, this has been a very interesting journey so far, I must say.
Now, you have to satisfy my curiosity on something. What made you decide that you were going to be involved in the Israeli Defense Forces? I mean, for you to attain the position of commander, that's quite an accomplishment. Tell us how you got involved in that and what drove you to be a part of that.
Well, you know, each Israeli person gets to go to the military. And I, growing up, realized that I sincerely don't like to be ordered around. So with my resistance to authority, I decided that I'm going to go and become a commander myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through the schooling, and I went through the preparing of getting to that point, and you know, it was really avoiding being ordered around that led me to it, but later on became something that I was very passionate about and chose a professional path within commanding. So
now here you are as a woman. Not many women would have the opportunity to hold that positioning, and let's face it, there's not a lot of men that get to hold that positioning either. So
right.
With that is a great deal of responsibility. But you touched on the fact that you also had become rather arrogant while you were in that positioning. Do you think that just comes with the turf? Is that just something that you adopted? Do you think it was because you were so young?
Well, I think it's a combination of many things. And definitely young had a lot to do with it. But also, you know, we grow up and we're fed all of these what now in retrospect to me look like false values, you know, of glory and status and other things that we hope to acquire. And when we acquire them, there's like this euphoria of, oh, you know, I'm this amazing person. How did I achieve this and this? And really what happens is that the result of being so magnificent, presumably, right, and in the exterior, actually it deteriorates your inside, and you become this hollow being with all you care about is how you impress others and your titles and your so on and so forth. So I think we're being led to acquire those values and you know, being pushed to own those, because those are the values of what would be defined as excellent or as amazing in our society.
That's very true. I would agree with that. Now, you have a proverb that you mentioned right at the very first of your book. It says, a bit of fragrance always clings to the hand that gives roses. I thought that was so eloquent. I really liked it, and it's a Chinese proverb. And when you think of that, that's so very, very true. I mean, it's on so many levels. It really is. Now, you decided you wanted to get into developing a unique management development program. Why? We've got gazillions of them out there. Why did you want to do one?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a complex answer, and I'll just try to follow up on the sentence that you just said, that Chinese proverb. You know, I think I was struggling. We moved to the U.S. after my long career, very successful career in Israel, and I had a baby. And I had a very hard time with my husband, with, you know, just moving and him starting his career, and everything was in shambles. And I found that at the same time I was an HR director. I took on an HR director position. So I was under a lot of stress as well. And I found that almost the only thing for me personally as an individual that gave me strength was to be kind and good to others. And somehow, being that was what gave me strength, it trickled into my own management style. You know, I was a consultant for many years with many industries, and again, in the military, but also with corporations and nonprofits, I mean, you name it. And so I, for the first time, ended up in a situation where I was an HR director, and I had to swallow my own medicine, so to speak. And what I found is that this way of kindness, combined with my own skills, with my own consulting skills that I've been preaching for years, created a very clever combination that had wonderful results. And so it kind of all combined together to create this kind excellence thing.
You really get right to the meat of what you want to talk about in your book without swimming the sharks. And I think one of the most common complaints of the corporate world is that people feel like they're in an icebox of attitudes. And so frequently they encounter people who just say, this is black, this is white, take it or leave it. I think there isn't a month that goes by that I don't encounter someone in counseling where they're just stymied. They don't know how to reach people. They don't know how to talk to the corporate individuals. And what I have found is that there's so much fear on so many levels, especially with the downsizing that is occurring. So many significant businesses are hurting. I was just talking to a businessman this morning, and he's in the construction arena, and he is saying, well, it's a little bit slow right now, but that's okay. You know, we get through it. Every business has its ups and downs. And he was just chatting. But when people get scared, they often become very unkind and uncommunicative. Now, you talk about kind excellence skills. That is a combination that I heartily endorse because I think it makes a difference. That doesn't mean you become a doormat, but it is interesting. And you give a quote, leaders have to live their lives backward.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, you see, a big part of it, it's like an egg and a chicken kind of challenge. Because if we don't have something to put forth, if we don't have a system that works, and you were talking about fear and about, you know, lacking the ability to lead and manage. And really, you know, we talk about management, and it's such an elusive term. I want to take a moment and just say what I mean when I say management. It's really the ability to get people to want to do what you want them to do. Meaning, you know, we're so focused on the tasks and what needs to be done that we are not attending to the want factor. And people give very little of themselves if they don't want to give. And I think that fear is strongly linked to not having the skills to make it happen. I mean, if I don't know how to make sure that my employees are giving 110% of themselves, and they're really, you know, motivated in work and outside work, and they're constantly thinking about how to improve and grow – then I end up with an inability to move forward, and that feeds into the fear. Mm-hmm. Because now I feel I'm more fragile and more incapable of moving forward. So it creates this loop of being unable to build a sustainable business that you can feel confident, that you know what your employees are doing, that they know what they're doing, that everyone is moving forward. That's feeding the fear. The fear is feeding the inability to grow, and it just keeps festering.
You have a wonderful...
I don't know if I answered your question.
Well, I think you did in part, but we've got some other points we're going to cover. You have a marvelous parable in here on the old man at the well. I just loved it. And I'll just summarize it a little bit. There was a village. Wild boars were attacking it. The villagers had tried all kinds of techniques to chase away the boars. And then there was a man that came into the village one day. He was a stranger. And then he asked what is going on. Of course, I'm doing this a lot shorter than what you have in the book. And he said, you know, there was a guy that taught us what to do, how to gain control over our lives, but you've got to listen to what I say. Are you willing to do the whole thing? And the villager said yes. And so he said, every morning gather barrels of food and put it in the center of the empty field near your village. Well, the villagers weren't too sure, but they did as he said. And 30 boars came in and trampled over everything, and it became a routine. And no time at all, hundreds of wild boars were storming the prepared food in that field, so they just kept doing the same thing. And then the villagers gathered together, and then the old man told them to place four metal pillars at four corners of the field, and the boars didn't notice that change. They were focused on what they were doing because it had become a habit. And then the three fences were gradually put up around the field, and the boars, because they were so accustomed to what they were doing, ignored the fence. And then, when they were hungrily feeding on the food in the same place that they had gotten so accustomed to, they put in the fourth fence, and it became a cage for the pigs. They were now trapped inside. What was the old man wanting to get across to them? Can you tell the rest of the story?
I think this is a classic, you know, turn a threat into an opportunity, and you do it by getting over your own limitations. So basically what you're doing is you're saying, well, I am afraid of these boars, so I don't know how to go about managing my everyday. I am not capable of controlling my everyday, and I'm letting my habits. But what the old man told them is that the boars are coming to eat because they are so they're so used to this habit of coming to get the food that they're not noticing the fact that gradually there's a fence being put around them. And the old man told the family that we do the same thing. We as people, we let our limitations, our challenges in life just be because we're so comfortable with the everyday that we don't, for the lack of wanting to change, we let fences cage us in. He said, well, if you want to be able to get out of the situation, you have to pay attention and you have to be constantly aware of what's going on around you and not stay so addicted to the temptation of not changing.
You relate this to business, and what is a plan that you would give to people that are running business? Actually, I think your points are well applied in any position where you are going to be working over other people. This is very important. Talk about the plan that you feel that is so workable.
Well, you see, I think the point is managers have to deal with, as you said, I mean, it's not only manager, but let's just take managers for a moment. You know, managers have to work with employees and help them get over their limitations, basically. And limitations don't necessarily have to be within ourselves. They could be, you know, I need to get a task accomplished, but there are things getting in my way, and how do I get over those things? How do I accomplish my task despite of those things? And, I mean, that's the whole point of management. The whole point of management is to help you grow beyond these things and do a better job of achieving your goals. Otherwise, people would have done it themselves. So for managers to be able to instill that ability to overcome the resistance to change. That's basically what it is. I think somewhere in the book I say that management is really about managing change. Because managers need to understand that there's a certain emotional state that people go through when they're presented with any type of change, whether it's accomplishing a task or growing and improving, you know, taking feedback in and being able to implement it, all these things. There is an emotional process that an employee needs to go through. And in order for that process to be achieved successfully, managers need to give employees two things. They need to give them the skills, and you know we can compare the skills to putting the fence across. So a system, a tool, something that makes sense, that it enables them to change the situation from one to another. And the second thing they need to give them is an environment of safety, so that they can depend on that manager and feel safe to make that transformation.
You talk about the core skills, and being around people in manufacturing, that is something that those that are really astute with manufacturing realize, that they constantly have to train the people that are working for them. Because if they don't, with all this computerized software, you can have just such delays and problems. So developing those core skills and encouraging them to problem solve and to communicate with them is absolutely imperative. And I think that that is one of the weakest areas, because so many people have been indoctrinated, well, you just tell them what to do, and if they can't do it, then tough luck. Well,
right.
Different people think differently. Some are visual, some are audio, you know, auditory. Other people are hands-on type of learners. Sometimes they're just a mix of it all. Every single person is different, and I think that is one of the greatest challenges to a manager. How would you encourage a manager, or anyone for that matter, that's working with other people to be able to move into synchronicity with someone else's thought processes? What would you recommend that they do? Because if you don't understand it, you're going to have a very unpleasant situation. Let's face it, when you have to replace employees, that is one of your biggest expenses.
Right. Especially, you know, the problem gets even more dire when you're talking about employees who have a great deal of knowledge and the organization depends on their knowledge. It becomes a really big problem.
Mm-hmm.
What I would suggest is two things. You know, first, don't assume that people need to know what you know. That's the first and most significant rule, I think. We assume that problem solving is something that people either have or they don't. You know? And we assume we send people off to workshops to learn tips and get advice about it, but we think the basic thinking pattern is something, you know, you're born with. And you can't practice it. There's no way for you to acquire it. That's dead wrong. That's been proven to be wrong over years and years, and I think the second component is to say, well, I need to learn, first and foremost, how I think. Because before you can understand how you yourself think, how a thinking pattern is going from beginning to end, you can't approach anyone else and explain it to them, because you don't know how to verbalize it. It seems like something that is intangible to you. So first and foremost, and these are not complex, you know, you don't have to read books on how it's done. They are very simple processes that a thinking pattern is structured. And if you understand how you're solving, what is the process that your mind goes through when you need to solve a problem, then you're in a much better position to explain it to someone else. And then, okay, so now you have your side of it, how things are done. What is the actual real tool that your brain is using in order to address this situation? Once you have your side of it, now you can look at the other side and say, how do I explain it to him or to her in a way that makes sense to her? And then, you know, all this thing about are they audio, you know, what is their strongest suit? And some people need to have a combination of things, and it's easily you know, you don't even have to go through tests or anything. You can ask them, is the fact that I'm explaining this with a lot of long explanations, is this easier for you? Should I draw it down for you? That's easier to just work with another person and figure out which kind of conscious learning style they're using. Mm-hmm. But I think the real core problem is we don't know what to teach.
Good point. That's a very good point. I think that is a point that often even comes in with relationships because, again, we have our ways of communicating and we all will have our certain patterns. So if someone's going to be in that leadership positioning, instead of browbeating someone, if they're really wanting to get results, they need to be able to be willing to be vulnerable to asking, what is it you're not getting? What is it that as I'm explaining this to you, it's difficult for you to grasp? And they may say, I think it's stupid. So what is better to do? Okay, I think you're fired. We'll give you 2 hours and you're out of here because if you can't get it, you're dumb yourself. Well, the truth is, many times someone will not see a correlation. And I think a good manager needs to be open and receptive to the people around them because I've encountered individuals that I call them slow thinkers, but that doesn't mean they're not intelligent. They like to, they have to sort of mentally regurgitate and chew on it for a while, just like cows do. And then they'll say, I think I've got it, but I've got a question for you. And then they bring up a question. You go, good Lord, I didn't even think of that. Well, I was sort of looking at it, and I thought, I think I know where you're going, but I'm not quite sure. I know a guy that does remodeling that does this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, sorry for interrupting, it's interesting that those type of people that are slower to process are often the greatest inventors mm-hmm. because those people are the ones who are very, they spend a lot of time in their subconscious, and the subconscious is the place where we integrate a lot of information. So those are the types you don't want to lose. They're the ones who can suddenly come up with the greatest idea. It will take them maybe a month more than the other guy to get it. But when they get it, they will have an amazing perspective that you never even imagined was there.
True. And one of the things that I think is so important is that when people, if they are overseeing others, open up the table of conversation and saying, what do you think about this? I'm going to toss this out to you. We're working on this. This is what we're looking at, and I could tell you this is exactly what we're planning. I want to give you a week, and I'm going to have another meeting, and I want you to tell me what you see wrong with it. What is it? It's like construction workers building houses. They'll always say later, my God, we should have talked to the wife. We should never have listened to her.
Right, right.
It's the way you perceive things. It all depends on how you're looking at stuff. And again, it is that thinking process. So when you go through it, it's great. Now, I like what you say in your book, that leading people to excel is where you start shedding things off or getting rid of stuff that doesn't work. And you
right.
stop duplicating the patterns that propel your team, or you start duplicating patterns that propel your team or individual team members to excel. It requires receptiveness, seeing things as they truly are, core analysis, and systemic thinking skills. I listened to a CEO on the public television station the other night. He's a very, very successful man. And this is exactly how he works. He said, you really have to be aware of what needs to be done. And there are times you have to clean house, but you don't slam the door in the face of the people that are going to be there to support you.
Right, and you know, it's interesting this fear that you spoke of before. We are afraid of seeing what is actually there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what's really there. If we're able to see what's really there, I mean, someone comes to us with feedback we don't want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It's immediately that fear jumps up again. It's like, okay, I don't want to listen to you because you're saying something that is threatening me. But that's something that is threatening me. Better off I hear it now and prepare for it and find a solution for it than in 2 weeks have to deal with the consequences of not seeing it. I mean, it's there. So,
mm-hmm.
you're just giving me a heads up. And I think, you know, I think this whole shift from managers as correctors to managers as facilitators and preventers and you know, ones that are alert, that are sponges and are noticing every little thing that is happening, instead of being a mechanism of, you know, do this, don't do this, fine, you did this well, you needed to fix this, bringing it back to a position of, I want to see as much as possible. I want to train you to see as much as possible, because you are my sensor out there. You're seeing things. You're being in places that I am not there. I need you to be able to convey all of that back to me.
That's right. And that's where the trust, the integrity, the open communication, I think that is so important. And there are so many individuals that say, you can't do that. If you have 500 employees, you cannot do that, but you can. You really, really can, and that's what brings loyalty back into the equation. That is something that people really want, and there's plenty of room for everybody and everything. Now, Ryut, I know you've got a wonderful site. It's called kindexcellence.com, and people can go there. They can find all kinds of good material. But I'll tell you what, I think so much of what you give in your book, Outswim the Sharks, How to Quadruple Your Team's Productivity with Kindness, is so appropriate for the world that we live in today, because there is so much fear on so many levels. Now, I know we've got just a little bit more time before we're going to be going to break and ending our conversation. Do you have a thought you'd like to share with my audience in this next minute?
I would like to say that I think we have a chance at revolutionizing this world and giving a real opportunity through success in business, not through you know, fluffy talk and values of let's all play together, and, you know, real solid skills that go well with kindness. We have a rare opportunity to bring something new that is both successful and embodies excellence, but also encaptures the values of kindness and being good to each other. We don't have to compromise one for the other.
I agree. Ryut, you've got a wonderful book here. Ryut Schwartz Hebron, and the last name is spelled H-E-B-R-O-N, Outswim the Sharks, How to Quadruple Your Team's Productivity with Kindness. I think a lot of the points you've given here could be taught to kids. Well, the adults certainly can learn. We all can learn. Thank you, Ryut. This has been a
delight. Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. When we come back, lots of good things to share. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, you'll be able to call in 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, any and all of those lines are available if you'd like to call in and chat. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. And I'm happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. By the way, I wanted to share something with you today because I have been, for those of you that are regular listeners, you know that we've been having problems with our computers. Well, this has just been a real pain. And we have just gone through having technicians out, having replacement of software, getting new computers. I mean, it's just been really really, really frustrating. Well, our system went out for about 48 hours, and when it went out, we just thought, oh, boy. So my husband was thinking, well, maybe our computer is giving the wrong signals to something and so on and so forth. Let's see. Let me check. I think have we got a caller on the line? I heard a strange sound in the background. Okay, I guess not. Anyway, what happened was I ended up having to call a technician. So after I take this caller, I'll tell you what happened when the technician came out, because I think it behooves to share experiences so that you may know how to handle something that might occur in your life, in your space with computers. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Brian. I'm calling from Laughlin, Nevada.
Okay, Brian, I can just barely hear you. Can you speak up one more time?
I'm calling from Laughlin, Nevada.
Great. Okay, Brian, the first thing that I want to say to you is you need to take some time to think clearly about how you want to approach a challenge that keeps coming up involving one or two other people. And I say one or two because I'm getting a picture in my head that showing one person and then another one seems to be in the frame and then they sort of disappear. So I honestly cannot tell you if this is something in a work environment or if it's family related, friends. I just don't know right at this moment. But you need to really look at what the facts are and get your emotions out of this so that you can have clarity about how you want to handle the confusion that is evolving, that's creating a very uncomfortable emotional space and place. If you don't take time to to really find out what the facts are, it is going to become very uncomfortable, and there might be hard feelings that would be extremely difficult to eliminate. So think first before you give opinion. Make sure you have your facts in place. Also, what I'm looking at is that you love to travel. And when I see you traveling, it's as if you'd like to get into an RV and just go from point A to point B in the U.S., just doing it in a leisurely manner, stopping at all the little nooks and crannies of various communities and environments. And you just absolutely love to see. You like to be out there. You like to be involved, but you want to do it in your own way. And I think that this opportunity is going to be given to you more than once. But you'll need to plan in advance so that you can do what you want to do. Also, I'm picking up something. It's like a vibratory sense in the upper part of the chest. Now, this is quite interesting to me because it's not what I'd call symptomatic of a heart problem. But I am feeling a frequency right at the point where the shoulders and, or I would say the neck bone and the upper part, just below the throat, where it comes to the V. And I'm looking at that and I'm tapping that. And as I'm tapping it, I'm quite surprised at how all of a sudden it's just like a relaxation of a muscle. Because of stress, you may find that your body will absorb it in certain spots. And you will think there's something very, very wrong. You're correct, something is wrong, but it's not what you would think. It's really unusual the way the muscles are acting. I'd like to see you learn how to relax with some breathing techniques that allow you to relax almost instantaneously when you start feeling this working up, because it works up from that point in the upper part of the chest. Then it seems to move up into the throat. It's a very, very unique sensation that I'm feeling physiologically. So you need to pay attention to it and pay attention to what the stimulus is, because it is not something that indicates a heavy negative. It is a reflection of stress in the body, and if you pay attention to it, you'll be able to put yourself into that position of self-control and relax the body, so that stress will not create that unnecessary agitation. And I'm getting the words, take your time. What's on your mind, Brian?
I was just wondering, would it be wise for me to move from Laughlin here back to California?
Why were you thinking of going back to California?
Because I don't care for the area over here, and there's not a whole lot of stuff to do.
Well, I think if you scout around before you move back to California to be sure of the area you'd like to be in, I think that that probably would be okay. I don't see either place being bad for you. I think it's a matter of what it is that is important and significant to you.
I don't care for the desert out here.
Okay, and that's fair.
Close
so
to family again.
If you don't want, California's a desert, but it's so heavily populated, you'd never know it.
I know.
The truth is that if you move back, before you move back, take the time to check out different areas so that you have a good feel for what is there and that you're really comfortable with it. Just don't move to move. But check it out first.
And
because you don't like packing things up and moving over and over again. You really want to have a place that you can be in for a while, and that's your nest, so to speak, and I think that's fine.
I'm thinking maybe down by Oceanside.
Check it out first before you decide.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Brian. You have a good day.
You too. God bless.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's how simple it is. All I need from you is your first name or initial. Okay, let me tell you what happened, what we found out had happened. When a service tech with our computer says we're having all kinds of problems, and we could just see dollar signs, you know, floating up with wings out our front door. Well, as it turned out, the technician came out, and we have had a cable, underground cable, for a number of years. And he started checking it. One, he found that the original person that put the cable in had not done a certain type of grounding. And I'll get to the caller in just a minute. I want to finish this. What I was going to say is, one, he found that the cable had not been grounded properly. And two, after he started investigating the cable, found that there had been a deterioration that had occurred underground where the cable actually had been cut in a couple of places, and because of the trees on our property, it had caused the cables to split. Also, water had gotten into the system. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is if, wherever you are, if you have an underground cable setup that allows for high-speed internet or anything like that, if you start experiencing problems, have them check on it. Today, they put a pipe over the cable so that your critters underground, like rats and all kinds of different types of insects, cannot eat through the rubber. And also, where trees that might be growing, you know, 10 years go by, they really get big. So they won't split it on you because they actually can destroy cable lines too. So just a little bit of information there to share with you, because we've really had a blooming mess here, and they're coming out and they're having to totally redo the cable and all of that good stuff, but we're up and running, so we're in order, which is great. But just wanted to share that with you. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Oh, Cynthia from San Jose, California.
Hi, Cynthia.
Oh.
Is the sun shining in San Jose?
Sorry?
Is the sun shining?
Yes, it's about 80 degrees.
Okay, blow hard and send some up here to the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
I think I'm ready for a lot of sunshine up here. We've had rain and gray skies for quite a while. Okay,
wow.
Cynthia, let's get down to business with you. Uh-oh, I'm looking at the time. Cynthia, rather than cut you off in the middle of our conversation, would you be willing to stay on the line and wait while we go on break?
Sure.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, we're going to take a break, folks, and then we'll be coming back. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Let's go back to Cynthia in San Jose. Cynthia, are you still with me?
I am.
Oh, wow, you sound great.
Oh, great.
First thing that I'm looking at, Cynthia, is don't cry over spilt milk. You have been engaged in some activities and have been really wanting to move forward, and you're not getting the response that you would expect. And you thought you had support, and the support now just doesn't seem to be there. It seems to be evaporating away. Don't worry about that. Move on. Go ahead. Follow through with what your agenda is. Keep focused, and you'll get a result, and I'm getting the numbers 2 to 3, so I don't know if it's 2 to 3 days, weeks, or months, but you are going to get results. Another aspect that I'm watching with a great deal of interest is that you have a plan for your finances that you're wanting to pull together, and you're a little bit discouraged. You think, well, maybe I'm just not doing things the way I should be doing them, and I want to say, don't worry about it. Take the baby steps, and then you're going to be able to do the giant steps. So I'm not too concerned about you financially at all. What's on your mind, Cynthia?
Well, I'm in a temporary living situation, and I'm just wondering where I'm going next.
All right. Where would you like to be? You say you're in a temporary living situation. What kind of a situation is it? Are you in an apartment? Are you sharing a room with somebody? I mean, what are you doing?
Actually, I'm a personal assistant to someone, and
okay.
It's not working out. So
mm-hmm.
It's a room. It's a room job. Kind of a. I pay for some of my expenses, and the rest goes for work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think what you need to do is to ask yourself what it is that you would like, and if you're going to stay in this job, how close do you need to be to be able to do it? And I am looking at someone, it's as if I'm looking at an old-fashioned type of a house, and someone's putting out like a sign saying room for rent. And there's a place that you could go to that would be very reasonable in cost, that would allow you to handle the transition that you want to handle until you are able to really do what you want to do economically,
mm-hmm.
which is to have a full-size place of your own. And that is evolving. But it appears to me that you really want to save as much money as you can. So I think you're going to find an environment that's going to suit you very nicely. It's like a small type of an apartment. It could be someone that maybe closed off a master bedroom and bath for someone to use. It would have a separate entrance.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, it would be yours. And then that would separate you from the working environment. But it's not going to cost you a whole bunch of money, and you just need to put the word out. And I think you're going to find it. I don't think it's going to take long. I really
okay.
don't. But you need to be out looking.
Yeah, I am. I am looking. So.
And
okay.
You
well,
don't want to do a lot of commuting.
Right.
Because San Jose is pretty intense with traffic. You know,
uh-huh.
what big city isn't.
Well,
but
I don't see
something
myself.
That you just have to be aware of.
Sorry?
That's just something you need to be very mindful of. And don't worry about where it's going to come from. Just put the word out and start looking. Give yourself a radius. If you wanted to be, like, within 20 miles or 15 minutes of work, whatever, or you wanted to be, let's say you didn't want to drive your car, you wanted to take the bus in, find out where the bus stops are, and then look at the areas around and see what you're going to be able to find.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I'm
right.
seeing a small space. I'm not seeing, I'm not seeing a big place in the interim.
Right.
But that's perfect for you.
Great. Do you see me moving out of the area?
Probably in the cycle of 7. And I don't know if that's the 7th month of the year or in 7 years.
Okay.
But I am looking at a move. Yes, I think eventually you will be leaving the area. But that's something that's going to evolve in the most unusual way. And when you make the choice, you will know exactly where you're going to, and you're going to know exactly what you want to do. But take advantage of the area you're in right now.
Okay.
Take advantage of it, because you're going to have an opportunity to do some specialized training, and you want to do that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome, Cynthia. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. Write for life. Journaling has been such a part of my life that I would like to invite you to join me tomorrow to listen to Dr. Shepard Komenars. Now, this is a man who found the value of journaling is on so many different levels, and as a man, it made a big difference in his life. So we're going to hear his story, but we're going to find out how you can write for life and make a difference with yourself. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're an innovator of any type, you're going to find him fascinating. So he's going to be my guest. Then we're going to be talking about math for mystics. Raina Shesso is going to be my guest. And she is just an amazing person. She's a real specialist when it comes to math, and I think you'll find her interesting. Now, Friday, Dr. Petty was going to be with us, but he had a speaking engagement come up, so we have rescheduled him for the Memorial Day holiday, and we may be having an open mic on Friday, or we may have a surprise guest. That hasn't been determined yet. So that's the lineup and the schedule as we are seeing it at this time. Okay, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. If you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. I receive emails from different people, and I always enjoy so many of them. And when I have a chance, I like to share them. And I got a recipe here for slow cooker lemon garlic chicken. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes schedule gets so hectic that the first thing you want to do is go and get something at a fast food joint, or you will just scramble a couple eggs at home and say, that's it. I don't have time to cook. I really don't. I'm not interested. That's the last thing I want to be bothered with. Well, this is something that you can just put into a crock pot. It'll do that slow, wonderful way of cooking. So the preparation is really quite easy. And I just thought I would share it with you today because I think it's a good recipe to have. Now, you can use, you know, those lemon peppers that have no salt in them if you want. You can do that. Now, this is what you're going to do. You're going to have a teaspoon of dried oregano, a quarter of a teaspoon of salt, and a quarter of a teaspoon of black pepper. You need 2 pounds of skinless, boneless chicken breast tabs. Yes, this is one of those low-fat meals. It's really going to be good. And you need a tablespoon of oil. You need a quarter of a cup of water. You need 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 2 teaspoons of freshly minced garlic. And if you don't have that, maybe you've already got it minced in one of those little jars you can buy at the grocery store. Use that, too. Two teaspoons of minced garlic. And then you need 1 teaspoon of chicken broth powder. And you can get low sodium, if low salt is important to you, or bouillon granules. And then 1 teaspoon of chopped fresh parsley. Now, what you do, you mix your oregano, your salt and pepper together, sprinkle that over your chicken pieces, and then you add your oil to a large nonstick skillet, and you put it over medium heat. When the skillet's hot, add your chicken pieces and brown them on both sides. And then you take those pieces that are brown, put them in the slow cooker. You add your water, lemon juice, your garlic, and chicken broth powder to the skillet and bring the mixture to a gentle boil. Then pour the lemon juice over the chicken in the slow cooker and cover it with a lid. Now you cook it on high for 3 hours or low for about 6 hours. And then when you're ready to serve it, you take the chicken out, or you can sprinkle it. If you want to put it in a slow cooker 15 minutes before the end of cooking time, you can do that. If you use fresh parsley, you could do it at the end. And it was recommended by Lon that you serve it with cooked pasta or steamed brown rice. And you have something that's ready to go. You just have it right there. And if you don't want the rice, you don't have to have it. You can have pasta, whatever it is, but it's ready to go. And it is really, really something that people enjoy a great deal. Then I was also sent this other one that said roast pork with spicy maple glaze. Well, that's another slow cooker, but that'll have to be for another time because we are out of time here on the Donna Sebo Show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And do treat the world about you with kindness. More than anything else, treat yourself with kindness because you deserve it. Remember, if you can't treat yourself kindly, how are you going to be able to do it for someone else? You're here for a purpose, and kindness is a good way to bring it out. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now. Talk with you here, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.